That's fine. You're shuffling sandwiches is what I'm hearing. Like you just shuffling a bunch of ham on rye.
Welcome, y'all, to Critical Clicks. Your own clicks. Damn my greatness.
That there's nothing I can do to save you.
Your own clicks.
Give it up for Jaws host,
PJ Bolan.
And Scott Cram Company Crampton.
Hey, this is Lucas Van Holland, and here's my partner.
Hey, I'm Scott Cram Company Crampton. Welcome to Critical Clicks, an adult podcast for the competitive HeroClix player, where we put the hard R rating in HeroClix. And we're talking about a lot of stuff today, Lucas. We have definitely talked a lot about the Wonder Woman set. It's a very interesting set. Did you get the chance to open any Wonder Woman?
Yeah, I opened four cases this week.
You opened four cases? Cases or four bricks?
Cases. So eight bricks total.
Wow. All right. Yeah. So what was that like? Nobody usually outbuys me, but I only opened three cases. So I have two and a half so far.
All right. Yeah. So the distribution on the set has
your fucking been, birthday, man. What happened?
No.
The lottery?
I usually buy like two to four cases of every set. So this
and
is
then
pretty
you,
much normal.
You really work your butt off trying to get unload them.
I sell a decent amount, but I also collect. So like the reason why I buy so much product is because like I know there's a really good chance I'll have nearly the full set.
Yeah.
When I'm fair. Done, and then I sell off most of the extras, if not all of the extras, just to recoup losses and. You know,
what the hell do you do about all of the, like, I mean, I have like 45 Huntresses. What am I doing with that? What do you do with that?
So I personally, I sell a few of the commons and uncommons and rares to people who don't have a chance to, obtain them as easy. So there's a few people who live in a couple different countries and stuff that I ship to that I have good working relationships with.
Oh, okay.
But then also there are a few like small operations around here of,
you sell them like, for cocaine. You just admitted it. That's what we've been waiting for.
No, just like some small towns, right. That have like young kids that have been playing and stuff. So I usually like whatever I can't get rid of, whatever I can't sell or like anything, I just give away. So
yeah, I put them all in a big box, and my rule is if you take one, you have to take the whole box. So that's what I started doing. And like because people would like sift yep. through them, and I'm like, I still have 12 Huntresses. They're like, that's your problem. I'm like, no, that needs to be your problem because I gave you shit for free.
Yeah.
You can do what you want to do. So like I literally there's like a gifting tree of like I gift a box to this guy. And then he filters it down, takes it from like and like two or three people take, you know, taken stuff like that. I will tell you this. I feel I just started opening my third case and I got the same absolute nightmare pack. Like if it's sealed, I'm the happiest man alive. But this nightmare pack, the fact that I've gotten it twice in a row, I'll be honest. I could have cried. It's such a bad pack because it spoils everything. And I've never seen it like this before at all. So do you know what pack I'm talking about or no?
I do not. No,
you do not. Okay. So the pack has the prime and the chase in the same, the prime and the chase in the same pack.
Okay.
So it is, I mean, for sealed, it's amazing. It comes with Giganta.
Okay.
It comes with Sergeant Steel one and Common Wonder Woman and then Prime Topher, the Ape, and then Hal Jordan. And that means when you open that pack, that's it. You no longer have anything else left in your case.
Yeah, you know, that like or in that pack, brick, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, or you're in your brick, yeah. Now that and it appears to be the exact same super rares, exact same everything. in that brick. But my second brick from that last time was Sky Tyrant. So if that's the case and somebody commented online, I guess I'll have two Sky Tyrants, which is positive.
Yeah, but whatever. What are you going to do with that, you know?
I don't know? Well, I mean, I can trade a Sky Tyrant. I don't know. Is it possible that you'd play two Sky Tyrants, though? Isn't he like...
Oh, yeah. No, I was being facetious.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, but I'm on the fence. Like, do I trade him for a commissioner or you might be able, Sky Tyrant's good enough where you could probably get a commissioner plus probably for him. I don't know.
It depends. Kind of like the prices are weird right now.
They really like, are. And I've been in debate about buying a few of them because I saw some. I saw Scarab for like $80 and I'm like,
that's yeah, like low. Hal Jordan is like one of the more expensive ones, which makes zero sense to me.
Oh, really?
He's like, yeah, he's going for like 130 or something.
And I'm going to talk him up now for a solid minute because I have two to sell. this Hal Jordan. Now, you could make the argument that the cowboy boot has close combat expert that doesn't work with the cowboy boot because you can't modify combat values. You could even argue that the cowboy boot is not autonomous and that knockback no longer does damage. However, I would like to argue that you get to make a giant character that's a cowboy boot, and that's dope.
And that's, yeah, that makes it all better, right?
Yes, that makes it all better. if that thing was autonomous and could do the close combat expert, which I think they'll probably rule that it can, then it's phenomenal. It is like, that's a great, making a consistent autonomous 11 for 3 attacker,
yeah.
But it's not. I don't know if making an 11 for 3 attacker over and over again for 50 points is worth it. It feels like no, because, you know, Guy Gardner exists and that's
yeah.
10 times better. And it's hard to argue that.
Yeah. The problem is that Hal is just a terrible figure.
Right? Yeah. He's
so like,
if he was absolutely literally mirror versed, he'd be okay. Like you start.
Yeah. His dial needs to be inverted 100%. Yeah.
An invert dial. By that, I mean, he might be the best figure ever created. And I have a few to trade. I'm willing to give up them up, guys. I don't know how, I don't know why I'm able to do this. It's crazy. Scott's house of deals, but also in the same brick, same case, two of the same legacy card. Just, you know, they're not very important in this set, but just a slap in the face on top of getting that one. So right now I'm salty, but I have pulled a Scarab. I have pulled a Sky Tyrant. So I'm feeling good there.
Yeah.
I think yeah, I have all the super rares. I really need nice. Hal Jordan.
He's a super rare, right? Yeah, he is. And, you know, though, the crazy thing that I'm noticing with this set, right? So it's nice that there's one chase for brick. I've seen that as almost always the case. I don't actually think I've seen any bricks that don't have a chase in them, which is good.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that there's a lot of cases that have two primes in them. Because I've had that. Two of my four cases had two primes. So pretty good. But the thing that I don't like is that the super rare distribution is low. So
very
like
low.
The number of super rares you're going to get is very low.
Five.
And then also
five per case is what I'm seeing.
Yeah. The rares are way too saturated. Like there are too many rares in these cases, like figure number wise. I opened four cases. I had more rares of five different figures than I had of uncommon Gorilla Grodd in uncommon Mary Shazam. That's freaking insane.
I would agree. I think that distribution's been a little bit weird. I played in some sealeds. This is a challenging, odd sealed set. And a lot of DC ones tend to be. But this is a tough one. This is a big, you know, like whammy one, you know, like mm-hmm. you're just like, wow, I'm playing every figure. I recommend if you still haven't played sealed, my highest recommendation is allow for mulligan boosters in this set than really any other set, because there's just, you have to at least pull like something. You like, you can probably survive and be a playable person if you have like maybe an Apollo or something, but it is very likely to just be like, I have 10 allied soldiers, basically, like, you know, just absolute true trash.
Well, and that's the biggest thing, right?
Yeah, when you hit the lottery, I mean, you have like Shazam, King Shazam, you have Scarab, you have stuff that is Sky Tyrant, for God's sakes. You have stuff that is nearly unkillable in the lottery. Although I will say I did manage to win. I got incredibly lucky, especially against a Firstborn, which is very good, better than I thought.
Yeah, he's very good.
Yeah, him standing next to you and sealed, he's like a 21. I'm like, I have great attack values and double prob, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I have to roll a 10, and I rolled a crit hit against him with an exploit. So
there you go.
But anyway, I got very, very lucky. But yeah, I mean, one of my friends was playing Apollo, King Shazam, Dr. Psycho. Like,
oh, wow.
You know, and it's just like, Jesus Christ. Some of this stuff is just insane for sealed. But you know what? Let's talk. We've talked about polls. We've talked about the set. It is an exciting set. It's a set that's for the most part turned a corner as far as the sculpts do look better now. That you can tell the chases look 10 times better than the normal figures and stuff. There is a lot of that going on. The super rares look, you know, 5-8 times better than the other figures. So there's a lot of positives there, but very legitimately, this is a very interesting set. So let's go into the meta, everybody.
He picked 8 winning cocks. It's never been done.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
All right. So, Lucas, I'm encouraging everybody to play in Scott Porter's event. I know you actually have a live event that you are committed to playing in.
Yep.
And does that live event have a 300 modern to it?
Yeah. Yep. So I'm doing a win a case event down in Tulsa, Oklahoma here on the 15th of May. And that is, 300 modern, 32 player cap. Should be a good time.
Okay, but what are you considering running for 300 points?
You know, it's really tough.
I assume Wonder Woman, right?
Yep, new rules. Wonder Woman's obviously there because it's going to be modern legal by that point. It's modern legal as of next week, Wednesday. Hopefully the comp rule book will be out. They said they were supposed to be out by May 5th. We'll see if that actually ends up happening. But I personally,
I think it will, like, because of the charity event. I just want to say that out loud.
Sure.
I think it will because there's a lot of pressure, I think, to put it out.
Yeah. It's
very, very shaky, to not have it.
And yeah. I think
they'll put out something.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully here's the hoping, right? So, but as far as like everything else, you know, like is what I'm playing, man, it is a Wild West meta right now. There are a few things that are like, oh yeah, this would be really good. And then you're like, oh, but I don't know. Right. Cause you also have to, it's not even necessarily just playing what you think is the best. You also have to read the meta of the region. Cause this isn't for Tulsa. It's not Worlds, right? It's a regional field. So like
most and you of have the to region, own the figures. Owning yes. by that date, owning the Secret Six team is challenging.
Yeah, if not impossible.
Do you open 4 cases right now without trading? Could you build the Secret Six team?
No.
How close are you? What's the best you can build?
I have 4 of the pieces. So I have both Gigantas, 1 Scarab, and 1 Sky Tyrant.
Yep. That's pretty reasonable. So you're missing the Giganta Prime.
No, I have both Gigantas. I have both of them. I have the.
Oh, okay. You're probably playing a slightly different version. What's your version of Secret Six, just to say it out loud?
Just a generic one would be, you're looking at like double Scarab, Commissioner, double Sky Tyrant, both Gigantas.
Gotcha.
You know, something like that, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
I haven't put a whole lot of thought into it. Cause like we said, you know, it's kind of hard. Like you don't know if you're going to have enough to actually play for it. So it's, instead of putting through all the effort to try and hunt everything down, it might be better to just practice something else and get more practice in with something that I know I can have, you know?
That's fair. So what's something that's practiced that you know you can have?
Justice League is definitely one of them.
So you, Justice League is worth talking about. I got to play Justice League. I was not super impressed with it, but I was impressed with some aspects of it. What is your Justice League build? And I'll talk about some of the Justice League things I've seen.
So the Justice League, the biggest combination, right, is the shifting focus Wonder Woman with the Gigantic Prime.
That is so devastating. I want to say like that is incredibly devastating. And I don't know, without saying the words Harry Leland, I don't know if there's a counter for that.
Have an Alpha Strike team and go first. I don't know.
I'm concerned that HeroClix, with the new rules and everything that's happening, I'm very, very concerned that that is what HeroClix is at this exact moment. Go first. That's not a good game.
HeroClix has kind of been like that for a little while for like a lot of teams.
Like, I've won quite a few things and I've almost never gone first.
Sure. But for like most of the metas that we have, because map was so reliant, going first kind of just inherently became a part of that. And like your chances of winning just went up exponentially based on the map you got. But now it's not even necessarily so much the map you have. It's just the fact that you go first, the fact that you have first turn immunity to blow through. Right. So like, I think that because like I was saying this to PJ earlier, you know, they got rid of a whole bunch of game elements, right? They got rid of ID cards. They got rid of a lot of tent pulley aspects. They got rid of resources. And then they changed the rules in order to dumb them down and make them easier for players to understand. But at the same time, the main thing they did was they just enabled a scenario where if I can cross the map with a big damage, I can just end the game turn two almost always, right? That's why Secret Six is so good.
Yeah,
because we can send Sky Tyrant all the way across the board. He swings 14 for 5, kills two things, which are most important to your team, and then runs away and leaves you with your pants down, and then you just can't do anything about it, right?
Which, by the way, they have definitely sided at this point in time, as close to officially as I could say, they have sided that he'll move back a max of 12.
So it's a max of 2 times. That's the important thing. Because you can modify his speed.
Yeah, you can perplex it up. Not to say that just moving back 12.
it's still devastating. Like, that's still really good. You know.
We didn't cover this because a lot of people may not know it. What is the Giganta combo with Wonder Woman?
So shifting focus Wonder Woman. Well, it's not even necessarily shifting focus, just any Wonder Woman, right? Giganta, the prime one, has a giant retaliation where it's a power action. She gets to attack any character that damaged a friendly character or any character that was attacked by a friendly character named Wonder Woman.
And to clarify, so you have a 45 defense. I have a 9 attack. I've attacked you. I'm done. I've met that requirement.
Yep. Yeah. Wonder Woman doesn't have to hit. She just has to attack.
There's nothing in this game that says you can't attack me, pretty much.
Shape change. That's it.
Yeah. If your whole team rolls shape change, you've successfully
prevented it.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, that's exactly it. So it ends up being one of those things where the prime Giganta, when played at 75 points or even at 25, really, she has an attack power that says she can use Quake. And when she does, she deals her printed damage value to all hit characters,
which is a 4.
It's a 4 on 75. So basically what you do is you send a Wonder Woman across the board with a TK and a Martian Manhunter move. Wonder Woman makes an attack, and then you triple perplex up Giganta's attack and immediately retail on their whole team for 4 damage. It's pretty devastating.
I mean, most teams can take 4. No, nobody can. You can't like, mastermind thing, it right? because it's it can't mastermind because basically your whole team. So again, if you're going second and you're not prepared, you really have to at that point in time be like, I guess all my figures are just absurdly far away from each other.
Yeah. You have to fan out. And most teams don't do well when they're fanned out, right? Most teams are designed to work together.
Yes.
And so that's really tough to, that's a really tough situation to be in. So like, yeah. And then what happens is you pair that with shifting focus, Wonder Woman, who have access to the lasso, and they get to use it twice, right? So what you do is you start up the common Wonder Woman, you go all the way across the board with a TK and a Martian Manhunter move, you charge, punch somebody, then you use the lasso everybody within cap, give them all a token, switch to the rare, and then use the lasso again because it's a different character and a different free action. So by this point, you've made an attack. Well, actually, you've made three attacks, but you've made one attack that deals damage. You made two more attacks that give everybody an action token. Then you're on the rare Wonder Woman, who says that all opposing characters within range, not line of fire, just within range, have minus one defense for every action token they have.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're all minus two defense. They're all double marked. Giganta comes across the board, hits everybody for four damage. And then anybody who she hits that didn't already have two action tokens gets another action token because Giganta's retail also gives an action token for some reason. So then, yeah, so.
And what's crazy is this is that what you're describing is about a 200 points, maybe 225-ish.
So Giganta is 150. Martian Manhunter is 190, and then double, like, if let's say you're going to use Flash because it's an easy Justice League TK, you need two of them, so that's 50. So you're looking at two.
You're playing both Gigantas because they.
No. You're just playing the one.
Oh, you said Giganta.
No. So it's Shifty Focus Wonder Woman Giganta at full, Martian Manhunter, and then double Flash. That's 240 points.
Yeah. Which is really low and does a crazy amount. How are you getting the triple perplex?
So it's 240 points, right? So you have 60 points left. You could play three billies. Done.
Yep. That's the thing. We're suddenly all of a sudden between the new rules and this set, HeroClix changed massively into a less wide open, more got to go first scenario. But then going first is, I mean, in no way guaranteed. No team's guaranteed going first. You're hoping the Justice League, but even that Justice League team you suggested, what is that, plus eight?
Plus seven, plus eight, something like that. So,
yeah.
But yeah, the best you're going to have is plus three over your opponent, which is not a guaranteed map win.
Yep.
So it's likely, but it's not guaranteed.
Yeah. And the problem with the Justice League team is it's not amazing if it goes second against Secret Six.
It's not. If it goes second against Secret Six, either Giganta dies or Wonder Woman dies, and then the strategy is gone.
Yep.
Like, it's just because that's the problem, right? Well, you'd be like, oh, I can play Wonder Woman and I can start with the armor. Well, if you're starting with the armor, then Scarab could just shoot you. And then we could get you off of your first click, and then Sky Tyrant can come across and just end your career. And then if you're playing
double outwit, which is big because they don't have to kill Giganta. They just actually, is that not outwittable? Oh, it's not outwittable.
It's a trait. So okay. They do have to kill Giganta. But like I said, if they just kill Wonder Woman, then Giganta's not nearly as much of a threat, right? Like that's the biggest thing.
And they can outwit her quake power too. So she's coming across the board for a sick for four damage, which isn't a big deal. The Sky Tyrant, if he's killed something.
Yeah, whatever. You deal one damage. You did four damage to one character versus four damage to all my characters. It's a big difference there.
It is.
So.
So I recently, that is a better version. I played against it. I've been championing Harry Leland. So Harry Leland's a very good counter to this. Harry Leland is a very poor counter to Sky Tyrant though. Because Sky Tyrant, what's so crazy is when you have Power Gem and Triple Perplex, Harry Leland's -2/-2 is almost completely ineffectual.
They still can kill Harry Leland in one turn. Yeah,
they can. That's very rarely a choice anybody makes because just doesn't, like, that's not an ideal, like, then my entire team. I'd be thrilled if somebody just ran over and killed Harry Leland. Usually they're going for something else, but
let's say they kill your commissioner or kill your Sky Tyrant.
Yeah, they kill like my Sky Tyrant and then my commissioner or something like that. They'll kill, you get to kill two things. It's very, very bad. I did get to play PJ. We played it out and I did beat his Secret Six team. But to be clear, it's a team that has to play perfectly. Everything has to go fairly right for me. And I can't make one mistake. The mistake that a Secret Six cannot make for any reason is going second.
Yep.
And that's fucked up too. So there's a lot of stuff right here. I think that one of the pieces that's that should get a lot of love that is in no way getting love at all is She-Hulk, which is weird because She-Hulk's hot and powerful, strong, powerful woman with a great job. She's a lawyer. I mean, you don't have to work if you're with She-Hulk. Give She-Hulk some love, yo. The green skin should not bother you. I know who you are listening to this podcast. You could be doing a lot worse than She-Hulk. But She-Hulk, you know, it gives you a one free roll for the three and then a plus one versus their plus three. So they got a plus two. You get to re-roll that. So
they do need to rule that yet. They do need to rule on how that's going to work. Because if you look at it objectively with how it's worded, the real question is, okay, let's say I'm a plus four over you, right?
Yeah.
So I am only a plus three when we roll. Well, if you have She-Hulk, like you said, am I a plus two or am I still a plus three? You know, even with the minus one. Like the way it's worded in the rule book, it just says the maximum initiative bonus you get is plus three. So, you know, how much of a difference, like, does She-Hulk actually make a difference there or not? But at the very worst, at least gives you two tries to try it on the map, which is not nothing.
It is. I think that, what's the right term? I think that She-Hulk will probably be worded where it's the plus one because they've already calculated the total upon the roll, is my theory. And also, they tend to side with a figure is not pointless. I mean, just look at all the rulings I've ever made. If that's the case, she's pointless, right? Because then she's only situationally good against an exactly plus three theme team.
Well, see, that's the thing. She's not pointless because it would make a difference if your opponent was plus three, plus, well.
Yeah, plus exactly. Three, plus two, and you can't play it if you're themed. So,
yeah, I understand.
So basically it's so much about going first. It's very, very frustrating. It's a frustrating, hard thing to think about. And it's also weird because the Wonder Woman set has a ton of nothing in it. And then like five of the best figures ever made.
Yeah. That was something I was going to mention when we were talking about Sealed. It's like, this set is so unbelievably lopsided when it comes to its power figures. Like I played in the JSA event for the suicide prevention event that Jay Solomon put on.
Yeah, you won that. Congratulations.
Thank you. And like my team was, you know, three commons, or it was like, no, it was four commons, two uncommons, a rare. Four commons, three uncommons, a rare, and then a super rare object from Psycho Man, the emotional modifier. Like, I was playing all commons and uncommons and one rare, and I was able to arguably make the best team in the format. Now, granted, the emotional modifier was big for me as a super rare, but, like, in Wonder Woman, like, the only rare that is worth a damn is pretty much Zeus. Like Zeus is pretty much the only thing worth a damn. And then there's also the shifting Wonder Woman, right? The rare that comes with the lasso.
I will also argue that Dr. Psycho is a incredible figure. And I will argue hard that Dr. Psycho is an actual playable figure in HeroClix.
So any mind control that can shoot through stuff figure that could shoot through stuff is inherently good.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
Puppet Master's the same way, right? Or not. Master, the one that comes with the radio,
Puppet Master. That's correct.
Foundation.
It is Puppet Master is correct.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, same thing, right? He gets to use a 10 square mind control from 10 squares away that ignores everything but characters. that inherently is good just because it has all the terrain that it deals with. So like, I'll agree with you there. Like, and like Maxwell Lord has the
mind. Yeah, he does a lot though. He gives you the leadership. He gives you the TK and he has a stop click and he has wild card and seven range and the sidestep. He's doing a lot for you and he's not.
But what I'm saying is like, so when you're facing a 275 point Superman, would you rather have Dr. Psycho or would you rather have Zeus?
In that scenario, always Zeus. So yeah, you are playing that. I honestly think though, I just want to say it out loud. I think playing 275 Superman is a mistake.
Oh, 100%. It's a mistake. There's too much mystics. And if you miss that one 4-6 sense roll, which I did when I played my pre-release,
just goes like Superman. That. Just goes
like he's a wet noodle. Like Superman is one of the, him and Zeus are the two main figures in this set that suffer heavily from the loss of Invincible being around. Like that Superman needed Invincible so badly. And
no, he didn't, because he shouldn't have it, because you should not make an argument that Superman should be better.
Well, if you're going to make him 275 points, you better be freaking better.
Okay. But, I mean, you're not playing. I guess you're right. I'm not thinking of him from a I'm playing him. There's just no scenario. There is actually the scenario in which he would be a playable piece at 275 with charge and only able to attack one figure at a time would have to be like 21 defense, the super senses, and then like Invincible with a secondary rollout and then something else and probably like
three stop clicks. Yeah.
Like two stop clicks and a 21 defense. It would have to be something so absurd that like people would hate him and ban him from tournaments because it would be so like, unfun.
Yeah,
so they should never make a character that's 275 points much better than this. However, if you are playing sealed, 125 is the correct answer. He's amazing character. And the math is almost the same. You still have the impervious. Almost. You still have the super senses. You go from a 19 to a 18. That's the same math in my book for, 150 points less.
Yeah, the big thing at 275 is that he basically one-shots everything he hits unless you have impervious. Like, I picked up a light object and went and hit a Guy Gardner for 7.
Yeah, right? Sure. Great. So, you win the tournament, though? Because
of the post-combat expert. Well, we didn't really play a tournament, and you shouldn't have seen. So we opened two cases between five of us, and so we all had 8 boosters to play out of. Out of eight boosters, I opened 4 Superman, and the best I pulled 1 super rare, and that was Lex Luthor. So that wasn't gonna happen. And the best the rare I pulled was freaking Dr. Poison and Teen Lantern. My pulls were, I didn't get a single primary attacker other than Superman. I didn't get a single Apollo. I didn't get a single Jason. I got nothing.
I will say I would have played Teen Lantern, 2 Superman as a starting point and then like an Amazon or something. I won. Yeah. I beat King Shazam, Dr. Psycho, and Apollo with my team of Apollo and Teen Lantern, because Teen Lantern's that good.
Sure. Yeah, Teen Lantern's great. But anyway, the point I was trying to make for this is just that like this set is very lopsided. Like the sealed is just
super lopsided.
And even for 300 modern, it's even worse, right? There's hardly any playable figures in the set comparative to the fact that there's like 74 figures and like less than 10 of them are worth playing. It's pretty bad.
I feel so bad because like literally I played against somebody playing the Lex Luthor and he had an amazing team, a Firstborn, Superman, Lex Luthor. It's a good team.
Yep.
And Lex Luthor is a 50 point character that outwits.
Yep. And I feel really bad for Isaac.
I do too. Like, cause he is one of the smartest characters ever. I mean, like, so he pushes, he makes a character that's immune that can attack. And then you can't attack the character back, and you can't attack Lex Luthor back because he can mastermind to immune. So he's invincible unless you, and you can't outwit him because he's a stop click. So he made one of the cleverest figures of all time. And then they literally changed the core basics of how HeroClix is played in something that's never been done before. And now he's, you know, unless you happen to be running a bunch of Mastermind and can get Lex Luthor to be Mastermind too, which I will say, Mastermind, if you can run like five Mastermind pieces and Lex Luthor, that is something that would beat the field right now.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, except for that still would not be that would. So if they ran up and they attacked you with like Wonder Woman, no, they could in-cap you and you wouldn't have to deal any damage to Lex Luthor.
Funny enough, I know like this is an argument that we thought would be gone once the rules changed, but funny enough, the biggest thing that would beat that team is Pulse Wave, because Pulse Wave gets around immune.
Oh, does Pulse Wave get around immune? I thought it didn't.
So the biggest, it gets around Lex Luthor's immune, because the Lex Luthor immune is granted through a trait. So Pulse Wave, if they Pulse Wave Lex Luthor and have the Pog in the radius at the same time, you would kill the Pog at the same time.
Okay. Still a brilliant figure if they hadn't just changed the rules.
Yep. Oh. No, I agree. Yeah. Like Isaac designed it perfectly for 6 months ago. Like it's a beautiful figure for 6 months ago, but then the fact that they changed the rules on us and the whole game is different as we know it means you can't push to him. Like, yeah, you could mastermind to him, I guess, technically, but like nobody who's actually good at the game is going to attack Lex Luthor. They're just not going to. They're just going to leave him be.
Yeah,
they'll kill everything else and then just leave Lex Luthor be. And then say, all right, I'm going to win.
It happened to me with Clock King. Getting tokens on characters, there was a lot of, when I designed them, there's a lot of one-man army kind of stuff. And, you know, getting a token that you can't roll out of on, like, let's say a Unimind is broken. That's great, right? That changes everything. And then they changed things and made everything completely different by the time he came out. And tokens didn't matter as much and yada, yada. And they also made him a prime, which makes it impossible. So, although I will say Isaac got to design his figure more than I did. I just got to look at mine and make some suggestions. So let's attempt to just spend a tiny corner of this podcast talking about Silver Age. Scott Porter is running a Silver Age event. If you have not seen the prizing for the Scott Porter event, the term absurd would be a appropriate idea of what it is. It is absurd. It's the most prizing they've probably ever put out for anything.
I'm going to say technically, no. Technically, it's still not more than Worlds, but it's close.
It's close. It's close. There's also, I don't know if you saw his prizing thing though, but there's raffles. There's, you know,
100%. Yeah.
There's a little bit of argument to say that some of the, you know, Worlds, they have the ability to drop a new couple figures into those pools for battle royales that don't exist. But I have some good firsthand information. depending on how they side with the Scott Porter Pog, it may be a thing you need two of.
Sure.
And I can't speak on it other than they're deciding on point total. If they decide pro the Scott Porter Pog and point total thing, from what I've heard, it will be a piece that you 100% need, like just gonna have to have two of them. He'll make a ton. It'll make most teams. And if they decide not, you know, then they obviously, like any good figure, they could overcost it and blah, blah, blah.
Yep. But,
so we'll see how that plays out, but it would be the cheapest. I think I can say this. It would be the cheapest use, the cheapest ability of something you could get that you want on your team. So I'll start with what I don't like about Silver Age, or why it's hard to play Silver Age, and then we can talk about Silver Age. So I think the initial problem in Silver Age, just in concept, is people think it's going to be fun. But under no circumstances is the idea of Silver Age fun with big prizing, because it can't be, right? I mean, it's opening it up to more broken stuff, and they're doing their best to run like great you know, fellowship stuff. Now I can't win fellowship because nobody's giving me fellowship for any reason. If I ran a, you know, if I ran the most fellowshipy thing ever and was the nicest guy and gave people hand jobs after each match, I can't get fellowship. It's just never going to happen for me. So if you're playing, there are teams in Silver Age that are generally just disgusting, right?
Yep.
And that's the general problem, because Silver Age can be just broken. And I think that most people think that Silver Age is just naturally fun because you got more figures, bring stuff out of retirement. Maybe we'll put a fun theme. That is always the problem. Now, their theme is family. And I got to go to the wherever the hell you sign up for this event to figure it out, Rock Ion Suite thing, to remember the rules. But what are some of the, do you have offhand, like the top one or two Silver Age teams that people are playing right now, or is that not really been happening yet?
So Silver Age is really on fire, but like I can tell you that thing.
Oh, you're breaking up just a tiny bit.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you close.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Sorry, we just went underneath a bridge. So the biggest thing, like, there are a few archetypes that you're going to see really popular. Obviously, the biggest one is going to be Shredders, right? Dealing damage without having to deal damage. Shredders is going to happen. Like, just that's just how it is.
And they're harder to kill right now because of the new rules that say that nothing really ups damage except for Empower and such.
Yep. So like Shredders plus Peace Machine, very good team still. Like it's going to see play. It's very good.
Now, not a theme team, and you have to throw a family into that, but only two characters have to be family members.
Sure. Oh, so like for Scott's, it has to be a family.
No. So two main force figures must be part of a family. That's a requirement for the Silver Age. The family relationship has to be explained. But, you know,
I mean, that's easy enough, right? Like you could run Mini Claw, Peace Machine, and a taxi, and then you still have enough room for like, I don't know, Sue and Johnny Storm or something like that, right? Like it's going to be easy enough to throw something like that in. And I think that's what most of the teams are going to end up being, is it's going to be I play the best thing I could think of and then just throw two things on there that meet the criteria, right?
Yeah, and probably one thing that meets the criteria of the of those things, right? Like,
yeah, exactly. So like, Fantastic Four is still really good in Silver Age and like easy to meet that criteria. It's going to be easy. You could easily run, geez, I don't know. Like you throw in the wrench of the family member thing, I guess it makes it a little bit harder, and I haven't put any thought into that because I'm not going. So
I'm sorry, you could play the what?
Well, I was saying you could play Fantastic Four.
Yes.
Yeah, but like I haven't put any other thought into it because I didn't realize that was a requirement and I'm not going to the event. So
that's totally fair. All right. Yeah. So yeah, Peace Machine, Shredder, that's definitely a good thing. I mean, what do you not have? You definitely don't have any of the bullshit attachment characters. You ID cards are banned. So yeah, that's a win. So Silver Age, I'm trying to remember, when does Silver Age start?
Superior Foes of Spider-Man. Everything with new cards.
Superior so like, Foes of Spider-Man.
Like one, like here's an easy one: Goblin King plus any Harry Osborn.
Oh, there because you
Goblin
go.
Because Goblin King is Norman Osborn, so just play any Harry Osborn with it, and you've got a father-son duo.
Congratulations. So let me ask you this: is Goblin King is the 275 point Goblin King in playable?
So it loses the Secret Six because it just gets outwitted to oblivion, but. Other than that,
I wonder if Secret Six are family.
I don't know. I mean, you could probably throw. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to build for that requirement.
Like, yeah, no, I know. I hear you. I'm just like, is there any natural family in the Secret Six? Yeah, I don't know them well.
Probably
enough.
Not.
Oh, what's interesting is you get old figures. That's cool.
Yeah, but like all of the old Secret Six is not very good.
Yeah, well, probably not. But like, is Flash still playable or no?
The Flash set is old. That's older than new cards.
Yeah, the one with Jake getting a lap dance is secret. That's a Harley Quinn with Secret Six.
That's old. Only new card stuff. So Superior Foes.
So you got Harley Quinn. You got the I'm just looking. King Shark. The King Shark isn't bad. Sidestep free if he occupies water, but he was better. Scandal Savage, yeah. None of those. Lady Vic. Yeah, I'm not sure if you can play Secret Six. You'll probably have to break your theme to play it. Because I don't think Deathbringer, Commissioner Gordon, Supergirl, Sky Tyrant, Scarab, King Shazam, Giganta. I don't think any of those people are family to each other. But yeah. Fiddler. Let's pull out Fiddler. Oh my God. Figures are so different. 76 points, Fiddler. He has mind control and sidestep, 7 range, 10 attack. His defense is defend. Adjacent character with lower point value minus modified defense by +1. You look at these figures, he's like 5 clicks long for 76 points with a single target mind control.
And yeah, the game was really different back then and how it was designed, for sure.
So different. So different. Could you just play your Silver Age thing? I mean, like, there's probably an easy Justice League family thing that you could probably play. Without much change. No chance Wonder Woman and Giganta got married, right?
probably not. Something with Joker and Harley would be easy, though.
Joker can't die would be an interesting one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you play the haha Joker and the Harley that gets to come back or whatever.
Yeah, honestly, Can't Die might be. Why is nobody playing Can't Die? Why aren't you bringing to the Omaha thing Can't Die? Because doesn't that win right now?
I think so. Like, honestly, like, Danger Room Constructs plus Daredevil is really, really strong. For sure. Yeah.
And you got the Galactus thing too, which is phenomenal.
Yep.
And that kind of gives like more of a turntable, like a clock to it. There is more, it feels like there's a lot of free attacks and stuff like that right now. So I will say they seem to go down. People are just attacking more, it feels like. Yeah. What about, I guess the Micron Atom thing really, it comes down to the same thing as everything. It's like, can it survive going second? And the answer is almost definitely no to almost anything, right? What happens with the team you're thinking about bringing? What happens if you go second?
I don't know. That's the hardest thing.
Isn't that fucked up? You were about to say, I probably lose.
Yep. That's exactly it.
That is really bonkers. That is really bonkers. So, I mean, Can't Die, you don't definitely lose. So, you know, do you just hope that you go into a large tournament with a lot of prizing and never go second?
Yeah, I don't know.
Kind of insane.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really hard thing, right? Like, you're exactly right. I go second, I lose. Like, man, I don't know. I don't know. It's the hardest thing. For sure.
Okay, let me ask you this. Does Bizarro Green Arrow in Silver Age come back?
Yeah, I think why not, right? Like, it's a good monster and it pairs well with not getting attacked. Like, you basically nullify all range, force your opponent to come in close, and then play a team that deals well in close combat.
Yep. X-Men, you know? Kirkone Revival is an option for Sky Tyrant, I think.
Yep.
Against Sky Tyrant, I should say. Green Arrow, this is better than it used to be. When Bizarro Green Arrow is a target of a ranged attack, you may give him an action token to modify the attacker's attack value -2 or its damage value -2 or both.
Yeah, so they can't modify damage, so you just lower their damage -2 to nothing.
Yeah. Then, yep. Him plus Harry Leland equals -2 no matter what you do to attack or to damage. That's not bad. And then just run some defense reducers and That's tough. I guess they can, it can be outwitted, that part, but not the part where they only attack Bizarro Green Arrow from range. Okay. Last thing to talk about today on this podcast is, now that everything's playing out, you've probably played some test matches, you've done some things. What is happening with equipments?
So
what are your new thoughts about equipments? Obviously before, equipment's best thing in the world.
Equipment's tough.
Power Gem, best thing on earth, right? Like Power Gem, why am I not playing Power Gem? It solves all of my fucking problems. Are you shuffling sandwiches, Lucas? You have an eating problem if you are.
My headset just fell out of my ear. I'm sorry about that.
That's fine. You're shuffling sandwiches is what I'm hearing. Like you just shuffling a bunch of ham on rye.
Yeah, my wife and I just changed seats in the car. So,
all right.
So equipment is tough right now, right? Because they got it. They made it harder to steal it, right? They made it harder to destroy it.
All right. So why are you saying they made it harder to steal it?
Because of the TK changes, right?
So the official TK changes, from what I am hearing in the mild test tournaments that they have run and done some mild ruling, is that you can TK your opponent's objects, but you can't use it in an attack.
You cannot use it in an attack. You can no longer destroy the object.
You can't destroy the object easy, no.
Yep, and that was the biggest appeal, right? That was the biggest reason why people liked going to steal objects, is because you could destroy the object and go up on points and be up on points, and then also neuter your opponent's ability to have the extra firepower, right? Like Dan won a Rock World tournament because he destroyed Easton's object, right? That's no longer a viable strategy. You cannot do that anymore.
Which is a good thing for HeroClix. That is a great thing for HeroClix. That was a shitty way to win a Rock World Championship. No disrespect to Dan or anything like that.
Yeah, Dan played the game exactly.
He played the game in a good way. It's just in concept, if you're saying it out loud, a shitty way to win a World Championship.
Yeah, the point there is it should not have been able to happen, but because it did, he used it to the best of his ability, which was good there. In that sense, having equipment is good because it's harder for your opponent to deal with. But now Scarab exists. So if my opponent is playing Scarab and I equip, he can now shoot me from anywhere. And that's
outwit you from anywhere and prob you from anywhere if he's playing theme.
Yep. It's not even the shooting. You're right. It's not even the shooting. It's the outwitting. And it's the probbing. The fact that Secret Six gets rid of your protected outwit means that if you equip, you are not safe from outwit anywhere on the map. And that is terrifying.
So basically, if you're playing Secret Six, you can't equip characters. That's just madness.
Yep. Yeah. Don't equip your figures if you're playing against Secret Six, because you're probably going to end up losing if you do. And that's the thing, is like, okay, so when you're building teams, it's important to look at it objectively and go, all right, can I build this team better without equipment? Just in case I come against a Scarab, because I'm probably going to come up against a Scarab, right?
Yeah, because he's 50 points and he takes away, essentially, you know, away there's that Doom, right? That's, 75 points. And if you start with him, you know, he has the cool rerolls. If you don't, he doesn't have the cool rerolls. But that particular Doom has, you know, remove an object. And that's huge. You know, that's a huge thing. Scarab essentially has that for 50 points.
Yep.
And it's passive. You know, there's no negative part about that. It's just like it's happening and you could choose to not remove it, but that's terrible for you. Or you could remove it. So now, and in a sense, you have to like hold your own object, or you put it across the map and they could equip it if you're not playing Scarab, which has happened.
Yep, that's exactly it. That's a terrifying thought there in and of itself.
And then you might think, well, how many people are playing Scarab? I might not. A lot of people might even play Secret Six. Sure, but a lot of people are playing Scarab. You do not have to play Secret Six to play Scarab. Like that is not I'm playing Scarab. That I right now, most of my teams start with Scarab for the exact reason of, if you are playing an object, I'm up on points, not actually, but just like, you know, from a game planning, game building strategy, you have to massively change your strategy. And this is all with a character that's just generally good. You know, he's just an okay. He's a sidestepping TKer with outwit. That just in concept is decent. That's decent enough. And then he has all those things.
And then he's got mystics and he can, shoot across the map for no reason.
Yep. Although the ironic part is I'm not playing objects and he can copy objects, which is kind of bonkers that, you know, you're, but I'm not playing objects because I can't figure out a way to play down and be okay.
Yep. No, I feel you there. So yeah, in short, like equipment is really strong, but you gotta be ready for the fact that Scarab exists. And honestly, if your team is good enough without equipment, then do that, because it's better to not have to deal with Scarab than to try and play around it. Yep. And honestly, it's just not worth it. Also, the tempo of a team when they don't have to worry about equipment is so much faster. The fact that they can just go right out of the gate, they're just ready to go.
There's no problems. However, the problem is now, you know, like I play Sky Tyrant with no equipment. You know, it's been happening to me. I've been missing.
Yep.
I've been going across the map, and Sky Tyrant, when he misses, is terrible. Like, if he doesn't get a single hit and he's just like, I guess I'm standing there, you kind of just shake your opponent's hand. Like,
yeah, he's a 17 ESD. He's just dead.
He's just dead. There's no stop clicks on that. There's no nothing. So that's really bad too. And that's something to think about. But here's the thing. Let's say you don't run into the 50% Scarabs for a minute. Let's say that doesn't even happen. You know who else can steal them? Any Green Lantern and light objects going first. And that will come up a lot. So a chip or a Hal Jordan, which maybe Green Lantern, I'm not sure what his actual name is, but all they do is make the autonomous catcher's glove and runs out, picks up your light object, and it's holding it.
Yep.
And exactly. If you're not playing Scarab, it's probably sidestepping it back, and you might get it might be equipped next turn on your opponent. But guys, that has been some great insight with Lucas. I mean, mainly by me. Lucas really didn't help out there. But anyway, thank you so much, Lucas, for being on the show. Next show, we'll have the Scott Porter himself to talk about the ridiculous tournament and a few other things. The restraining order he has on PJ will be discussed and brought up along with your questions. Until then, this is Scott and Lucas reminding you that if you're not playing competitively,
you might as well be playing with yourself. Good night.
Good night.
Critical Blix.